Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Malaj Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. Well, it gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to be able to do so. I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the initiative and the will to want to do this show that comes on 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And sometimes you can be busy and your schedule can be hectic and you're not able to do the things you would like to do. And surely to enjoy your family and surely to do things that your children and grandchildren, those will be happy that you have your presence. That's alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Adamin. But to give back to society, to give back to your community, to give back to those who need someone to give them a motivation, to give them the determination to want something out of life. A luxury is a necessity. It's something that we need today. Do you not know that we do not have a clue of why we are here in the world? We're just existing, and most of us are dying, and we're dying foolish deaths. We're behind the walls by ourselves. We have strokes, we have heart attacks, and when one finds you, they can't help you. Some of us just dead, gone, over with, and no one knew that they would die. So it's a shocking to the family. The family have to travel so far, some come near, but you have to come to a funeral, you got to come to a janazah to see your loved one off. Most people don't understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we should not be by ourselves. We should be with our loved one. You know, I know a young lady, and I don't want to mention her name, but I heard her say to her child, "You don't know what you have. I know what I have. But I'm not happy with what I have. But it's the best I can get. And because of that reason, I suffer. Because I played. I played the streets. I played the games. I did everything you may do in your life. I have done it, seen it, and not happy with it. So I have to settle. I have to settle to be with a man because it's convenient. I have to settle being with a man because I need a partner. I have to settle because this man do not want to do anything but what I would not like to do. And so, therefore, I go to work. I come home, I clean my house, and he cooks my meal. But it is not what I want. It is not what I thought that I would end up being. But that's what happens when you play the streets. When you play the streets and you play games out there and you do things that you shouldn't do, it comes back to haunt you because your day will come. Now, some people think, well, I'll do all my wrong, get it over with, and hopefully I die at 50. I die at 60. I die at 70. And when you find out you're on your way to 80, you say, I didn't know I was going to live this long. Then you wonder why that you didn't put in time to understand that one day you're going to get old. It's like the furniture. You ever buy furniture, and when you buy that furniture, my God, it looks so beautiful. It is gorgeous. And then a year go by, 5 years, it still looks gorgeous. 10 years go by, it still looks gorgeous. Now you're going on 25, 30 years, but you don't get rid of the furniture. Why you don't get rid of the furniture? Because you're used to the furniture. Oh, when you lay down, you feel comfortable. When you sit on it, you feel comfortable. And more important, it still looks good. But it's old. It's old furniture, but you don't want new furniture. Nothing wrong with that furniture. There's no rips in it. No one's dirty the furniture. It still looks brand new. But it's old. It's 30 years old. It's 40 years old. And that's what happens to couples. They will never get rid of that person. Why? We grew old together. And you just like the furniture. I'm not going to get rid of it. At least I have someone that know who I am. At least you have someone you can say, I know what I have, but I don't know what I'm going to get. So you don't play the street. But you do understand you got to live. You do understand you have to get up and go out. And you got to have fun. You got to be with people you know. Because that man that you don't know, you will find out that he cares nothing about you. If you have something, if you believe he can gain something, he's coming. But soon as it runs out, he is gone. That's how they play it. And today they got a name for old women that go with young men. Cougar. I don't know why they call it that, but a cougar. Why is she a cougar? All she is a sophisticated word that I get screwed by a young man. And that young man is that sophisticated pimp. Why? He has nothing, going to give you nothing. And when you get on his nerve or get on your nerve, it doesn't happen anymore. It's over with. It's over with. Now you got to go get the next one or live and grow old. So you got to go get the next one. And then you got to get the next one. But when you look at your life, you've been doing that for over 3 or 4 decades. Man to man to man to man to man to the point that it doesn't bother you anymore. It is something to do. That's amazing that you can say, I'm going to do this today. I'm going to do this this hour and that hour. And I'm going to do the same thing the next day. I'm going to do the same thing the next day. What life did you have? None. No life. You just stand withering away. And your children observe that. You know what makes children kind of out of it, if you want to call it? Their mind is spaced out because they see their mama or their grandma and all these very different men comes in. This one comes and goes. This one comes and goes. And this one comes and goes. And this one comes and goes. And then when they grow up, they realize, my grandmother, my mama, wasn't what I thought she should be. It has messed the mind up of the female. All the mess them up. To the point they don't even want a man. They prefer to get a woman. Yes, women going with women because it's the best thing to do. At least I don't have to worry about nobody cheating on me. Worse, I don't have to worry about no one coming and going. And more important, you ain't entering into me. You're not entering into me. And then you're going to leave. Nah, that ain't happening. But it's hypocritical. Call them a hypocrite. They ain't not that intelligent. They become hypocritical. What makes them hypocritical? They go get toys. Well, I thought you didn't want a man. But you go get toys. Some is a rubber duckling, some is plastic. Yeah, you just go get those toys. That don't sound intelligent to me at all. Every person wants another person to touch them. Touch a person leaves a great sensitivity that one should need. Let me give you a good example. When you see your little son or your little grandson, anybody's son, you say, come here and give me a hug. When you hug that person, it lasts. Why? Because you touch it. They can feel you. They can understand that you have a love and affection. But if you just talk to that individual, words just go with the wind. Hand on them. Their hair. Touch their back. Ah. Them fingers could be magic. Why is a nature touching a nature? Especially if you got good morals. Now, some men just touch because they have no morals. Oh, they touching little girls at 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. And then you bring your grandchildren around, and that same man picked you out, knew that they would get to the little girl coming through you. It's happening every day, millions. Did you say millions, Marat? Millions. They prey on the older female to get to who? What they really want. They're pedophiles. And they come in every day. But you open the door and you put them around your children. Oh, he looks good. He dressed good. And he talks well. But you never checked his background. How is it? Just tell me. How is it that a man tells you, oh, I love coke. I love pills. I love to get high. And I love the freak at night. But because he looked good to you, you figure you're going to change him. You're not changing him, brothers and sisters. The same ones that go and get someone other than in Al-Islam, when you change what Allah tells you to do in the Quran, you're on your own. You're on your own, brothers and sisters. And therefore, you gave up on God. Because you don't want to listen. You want to do it your way. Oh, you got the right to do so. Because God gives you those rights to do so. And so I want to thank Timmy Timmy is the oldest son of Al-Tariq. That's why he renamed himself Al-Tariq. And most people call him Tariq for short, because when you put the name on an attribute, only God is the name, because it's his attribute. But it's okay. Allah knows your heart. You didn't know that. Put that word, Al-Tariq. But it's really just Tariq to us. Everything that says the is Allah. But those are his attributes, and he knows that your heart didn't mean anything other than you being Tariq. And Tariq passed away. They never really met his father, his son. So the son, Timmy, never met his father. But for some reason, this young man was given the rights out of his aunts and uncles. They said, we're going to give you the right to bury him, rightfully so. That's his daddy. But he knew nothing about it. But the point was that the siblings, one of the daughters, one of the sisters, mother and father is not here, and asked her, go ahead, take over. But she happened to go next door because she was going to just put him in the grave. She was going to embalm him. She didn't know. But the angel guided her to go next door, and she ran into a Muslim brother. He said, no, we don't let him go out like that. And sent them to an undertaker that's in Islam. Sent him. And she got him. But she didn't want to continue, so she told Timmy, you take over. I get a call. Apparently someone told him to call me. Rightfully so, because I learned so much from Tariq. I grew up with him. He used to lay in my bed. I used to live in the room with my oldest brother. Everybody knew as Musa. Today, they know him as Shaheed. And I used to wonder why Musa got this man in my bed. Well, he used to go to sleep and wake up and tell them the number. And they would hit. So I believe he could dream up a number for 25 cents way back then in the 60s. You got a couple hundred dollars. 25 cents, a lot of money. And Tariq and my brother were so close, they come out of high school together, grammar school, and went to high school together. And they both went away to college for years together. They were separated, went to two different colleges. But the point was that was his number one man. It was like right and left, Heckle and Jekyll. You ain't splitting them up. But my brother decided to leave the home. Now, I didn't want my brother to leave me. That was my oldest brother. I asked, could I come? 14 years old, getting ready to turn 15, he said, come on. And I went. And I asked my mother, could I take my bunk bed? She said, yes. But I told my mother I would never leave her. And she said, you told me you would never leave me. I said, Mama, I go to work. You need money. If I go with my brother, I can grow up to take care of you. Yes, that's what I said to my mother. So she cried, and I left with my brother. And it was six of us. It was Ahmed, it was Tariq, it was Al-Noor, Musa, my brother. It was myself. And I'm missing one. Let me do that again. Ahmed, Al-Noor, Musa, Salik, Tariq, and I, six of us. But all four of them had their own room. Me and Tariq slept together. And I was able to get a young lady I wanted to marry, because now like Muhammad taught us to go get married. And I wanted to marry her. But I was younger than her. She didn't know it. But she was an investigator. She used to bust people for coming in the store and robbing the store. Merchandise. Yeah. So she had a little money, so she saw our room and put up beautiful drapes, we called it back then. It was drapes she put up. Brought me a beautiful bed, and she brought Tariq one because she didn't want the room to look odd. Carpet down, end up having the most beautiful room there was, thanks to that young lady. And Tariq used to teach me a lot of things, how to be a man, how to stand up on your own. Because why? When we went to sleep, we used to say, Musa, Musa, yes, sir, go to work. And he would play Gloria Land, and he would play Billie Holiday, and play Nancy Wilson. He would play all the jazz music, and that used to put us to sleep. And one day, Tariq was known as a driver. Boy, could he drive. One day we were downtown, and he said, I'm going to the store to drive this car if the cops come. Now, I'm going to drive the car. I never drove a car in my life. I'm 15 years old. Drive a car. But in that home, you have to be a man. So I was praying he would come back because I would have had to move that car. I never moved the car. Sure enough, he came back, and we moved out. Now, I say all that to show you how close I was with him. So when the son came to me, I said, I'll be honored to help you if you do what I ask you to do. So he put me on with the undertaker, and I wanted to know, who is she? I've seen her, but I didn't know her. And she said her place is Islamic, called the Islamic Center. I said, well, she got my attention, but the body was sitting at Paris. And she said, if we move the body, it's going to cost $350 or $375. Okay, no problem to me. Is it a problem to Timmy? So when she said we can come there because we don't put nothing on ice, which is true. We didn't come here on ice and we don't leave here on ice. So therefore, it had to be just a cool place. Okay, I like that. But right next door, there is the masjid, beautiful masjid, been built, and that masjid is called Nia. But I'm taught by Imam Wallerstein Muhammad. I'm a student of Imam Wallerstein Muhammad. And I learned that the body, the dead, does not go in the masala, because the masala is for the living. But we in America do not have the money to buy large buildings to do our janazah away from the masala, or have one big, large building and be able to do the janazah as well as doing the prayer, the sajda prayer. No, we don't have that luxury. But because she has the opportunity to put people in a building other than the masala, meaning the masjid is where we pray, it's called the masala, I said, this is the place. How many people you hold? I hold 200 and some odd people. My man, this isn't the place. Let's go here, if you can afford it. And she wanted to tell me a lot more stuff. I said, no, you sold it, sister. We coming to you. And we did. When I got there, put me in charge, and we did the strong, and we wanted Timmy to be there to see what he could do for his father. And we had a brother named Abdullah that's been doing it for 7 years that taught him how to do what we are doing. And he participated and was proud to participate. And he felt good when it was all over. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, rabbi alameen. So now we all had to go back. I want to thank Brother Wali Gadel. He wanted to be there. So Allah will reward him for wanting to be there. Good intentions call. And Malik, those who know him as Donald, Malik was there. Because Tariq had love for Malik and Wali. And because Abdullah was there. And Shahid was there, and that's our man's cousin. Him and Tariq were real close. And so he was there. Musa wanted to be there, but he couldn't get out of New York in time to be there. But he was at the janazah. So when I came in, I said, well, we're going to start at 12. And the reason I said 11 to 12, because let the family come in, because sometimes the family has the right to see their loved ones for the last time. We don't as in El Islam, don't need to do that because we want to remember him alive. We don't want to have to observe the deceased. But they was there early. But 12 o'clock is when everybody gets off for lunch. There's not a company that say, no, you can take an early lunch or a late lunch to leave an hour. And we're not going to be no more than that hour in the janazah. So we start at 12 o'clock. And when I came in, my beautiful sister says to me, I think I want to let them talk about the deceased. I didn't like that. But the janazah didn't start at 12. And it's not the masala. So that's what she wants to do. So be it. And I said, well, who's going to handle that? She said, I am. Oh, no problem. And around 30, she began to talk. And she talked. And she talked. And she talked. And she talked. And then she said, well, we can do the janazah, because it's almost 12 o'clock. But by 12 o'clock, we out of here. We got to be somewhere. Now, I don't know if that was directed to me. But she said some things that is a no-no. And I don't believe this beautiful sister knew what she was saying. It seems to me someone instilled that in her. See, I don't care where you go. Satan is going to be there. That jinn is going to follow you all the way to your grave. But did you allow that jinn? Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, made his jinn Muslim. I don't believe that I know anybody can tell me, including myself, that I made my jinn a Muslim. He's a sympathizer. We can allow him on certain things. And there's certain things he can get us and deceive us and make us do things that we ought not to do. So for the first time, I heard in a janazah that the family members can come up and speak. Well, that's a no-no. Too emotional. And what Timmy said was the right thing to say. And what the other member of the family got up was the right thing to say. But it's not allowed because you allow emotions to take place. Surely anybody that loses their father or their sibling or their mother, their father is going to have emotion. And the only way you can really maintain the sanity is the faith that you've got in God. And that's one thing that the Muslims in Al-Islam, keep in mind, Muslims in Al-Islam, because everything in there is a Muslim, whether you're Christian, you're Jew, your nature, we can't take that from you. But we are so sincere, but we are sincere in believing that God's will is his will. He will us in this world, he will us to leave a gun at you and fire it. And it jams, no bullet comes out. That's the will of God. It wasn't meant for you to leave. And if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and that bullet hits you, Allah, because of your goodness, will leave, take you out of this world. Only he can take your life, not that bullet. You could be laying around brain damage. You could be riding in a wheelchair. You can't get that to Allah. And you wasn't supposed to be there, knowing you wasn't supposed to be there. So Allah permits and he wills. However, I had to speak because she took the permission, I don't know who told her that she's going to give the janazah. That's what she did. There's two things the female does not do. They do not give the kufa. They cannot give that. And they cannot give a janazah. For that is not Friday, but we're giving back what Allah has given us. There's men and women and children there. It's the drop of seed, what Allah wants us to tell them. More important, why do we do what we do? And so therefore, very modestly, I said, this is a no-no. This should not have happened. This is totally against Al-Islam. But because that sister made that big mistake, it was a blessing in disguise because I witnessed that I have to do something that I wasn't thinking of. We're going to create our own building. No longer do we have to go to these undertakers. Oh, you can't bury a body unless you have an undertaker, but that's all they're going to be able to do. They will never tell us what we should do in El Islam. Now, what makes it really, really, brothers and sisters, a major problem to me? Because the undertakers make money. And it's an old saying, who pay the fiddle calls the tune. How is it that you pay, but I got to hear you tell me what I'm going to do with my deceased? How is it that you're going to give me your understanding on how I'm going to bury my loved one? Your job is to bury the body, because you have license to do that. Your job is to pick up the body, but you have no rights over that earth. Belong family members. And whatever they try to do with, they have to do it. So you're not going to just make money off of El Islam. You bury Christians. And Christians like to sing. Christians like to play organs. Christians like to tell you the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Christians will tell you ashes, dust to dust. Christians were asked to come up and talk about the deceased for a whole hour. You don't interrupt them. Why? Because they pay you. They pay you to interrupt them. No, they do not pay you to interrupt them. Don't misconstrue what I'm trying to say. But you are in El Islam. Know how to embalm them, because that's what they want. You know how to put them in the fire called cremating, because that's what they want. How is it you so corporate that you can know how to submit to what their request is, but you cannot submit when it comes to Al-Islam, meaning you should never step over your boundary. Stay in your place. But I'm not here to argue with anybody. I'm going to create my own place. Everybody that knows me in this world, more or less than the state of New Jersey, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. See, they already angry with me because I don't charge. I don't charge, brothers and sisters, for anything that to do with the deceased. It's a blessing. Don't pay me. Give it to charity. So that cuts off the emails that get paid. And I don't do dawah. We're going to do a dawah. And what are we doing? We're begging Allah. Well, most of them in court gave so much hell, whether it's to their wife or to the next door neighbor. Yes, they're doing a dawah for themselves. I don't need them to beg Allah for me, and nor do anyone else. But they get paid to give you all of the Arabia. And they want you to think that that flush is alive. No, it's not alive, brothers and sisters. It was dead when we entered into it. The earth is dead. Who brought it to life? Allah. Well, what did he breathe into the nostrils of our father, Adam? A spirit. And the dirt came alive. That's the protective vital organs of the human being. So we can't get angry. We can't get angry with the earth. Yeah, but he committed a lot of sin. That's not the earth. Well, he killed people. That's not the earth. He's raping little girls. That's not the earth. The earth didn't curse. It's that individual that be tried on the final day of judgment. So you have to respect God's creation. Prophet Muhammad, prayers of peace be upon him, stood up when they had war with the Jews. Oh, that was a major war. Major battles, brothers and sisters. But here come a Jew deceased. The prophet stood up. Now, Abu Bakr pulled his garment and said, that's a Jew. He said, the earth don't curse. Alhamdulillah. There's no curse in that earth. But why are we rushing it to the grave? Because we ever kept a body out that has all the vital organs there, the nourishing proteins, the iron, the enzyme, all of it's there. But we got to give it back to the earth where it came from. But we wrap them up, and we wrap them up, and we wrap them up. And the insects are saying, I thought you was the most intelligent creature on earth. Why you put so many around him? I have to eat that. I have to eat through that material to get to the flesh. How intelligent are you? That's what the worms are saying. That's what the insects are saying. Termites, everything is waiting for it's called sadaka. We getting ready to give them sadaka so they can eat that flesh and gurgitate it back into the earth in which it comes. But the human being is not in there. And I told them, brothers and sisters, if you believe that's an earthly person in that grave, you just lost your religion. But it's money. It's money. You got some now, they can just take the top off, not the whole top, and put dirt in it. For what? Rituals. You got to worry about which way it's turned. Why? Rituals. You got to worry about it might sit up so it can answer the questions from God. Who told you that? Took us back to idol God, because that's what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam read about your prophet. He has never taught his followers to put emphasis on the great. Why, the paganism been doing it for years, and now he tried to get them away from that. And 1,400 years later, you grow up coming from being a slave for the white man. Lost your culture, your language. You lost your God. And today we're saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, but yet we are fallen victim of people who came here and changed us and gave us idol gods. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. And isn't it amazing that everyone that think like that can't produce nothing? Nothing, brothers and sisters. Nothing at all. Matter of fact, we are so intelligent that I've never seen an Islamic, I've never seen amongst the African-Americans. I could be amongst them, but I've never seen those in Islam, whether they female or male, we have our own grounds. No, we buy everybody else's ground. And some of the grounds look like paganism. What's in that? We run back and we pray over the grave. Ain't no haram in that. You have a right, that's what you want to do. But your mother, your father, your siblings, your uncles, your aunt, your wife and your children is not in that grave. Did that ring in your heart? Because you got to be in your heart. Your intellect is confused. For Allah's spirit don't die. For Allah we came, they say it all the time. And for Allah we return. Where are you returning to? What place are you returning to? Allah is returning that big head, that intellectual mind back to the al-fitra, the deen al-fitra, which you have got away from. That's where you're returning, because that's God's spirit. We are God's spirit. So the soul don't die. The spirit doesn't die, brothers and sisters. So we done now made this a big business. We done dress up the boxes. The boxes got convertible theoretically speaking. The body should go in the grave with no material. So the insects can have their meal. And so the body can go back into the earth where it came from. But they want you to believe that you have to dress it up. They want you to believe you got to have a box because they're fearful that the people ain't going to like that you didn't spend now thousands of dollars for a casket. They so way out, don't be a big guy. They'll say, got to give them some room so that'll give you more space. You don't want to be buried on top of another body. No, I don't want to be in that grave. As if you own the earth. None of this make any sense. It's un-Islamic because they want to get away from the man Warren Steen Muhammad. And my sister, I didn't want to. You got a beautiful family, and you're a female. But here on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Malad speaks, I have the right to tell you the reality of life. That's not your place. Stay in your place as a female. Stay in your place as the lord of the house. And when you come outside that house, the man in charge. And the man ain't in charge because he's more intelligent than you. That don't say that in the Quran. The man is not in charge because he has a spirit and you don't have one. The man is not in charge because you don't have a soul. Yes, you do. But why is he in charge? Because he's masculine. And he don't have to deliver babies because that's time out. He don't have to go through a menstrual because that's time out. There's no time out being a leader. Put us in charge. We're not over top of your mind, your soul, your spirit. For in Africa, the man walks ahead of the female. Out of ignorance, you would say, what is he better than her? She should walk side to side. Well, go ahead in Africa. But when that lion comes out, and that tiger comes out, he gets the first one that's out front. That's why she's in the back, the protector. And that's just a metaphor to tell you how most of us are stuck on stupid. And you know where it comes from? Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch said, get that man out of the house. Because if you can show that female that he's not a capital M-A-N, we can rule them for another 1,000 years. And that's what's happening. They not only tell you to get out the house, brother, they're going to took your position. Well, guess what? Not on my watch. That don't happen. Now, there's other places that we can go. Now, I've been to Wiggum many times over and over. She doesn't interrupt nobody. She comes in, do her work, and that's why they've been in business for umpteen years. Still number one. But the other doesn't do that. It takes someone that wants to be more than what they are and say, la, la, illa, la, mamma, su, la, and all of a sudden they got new rules. The rules does not help. It hurts. So one lady at the website tried to literally jump into the grave. Eliel had to talk to her like he was the front line of the Green Bay Packers. Because she went past him, she was in that grave. Who taught her how to be so emotional? And why was she so emotional? Because she didn't have time for no one to explain to her, that's a no-no. For you want to die because you could have went down there and hit your head and that's where you would have laid. In that grave. You're supposed to live. When one dies, you're supposed to live. And if that's your father don't want you to die now. You're going to die one day. But live your life. But the key is no one told them. No one explained to them. No one instilled in them that your father is not in that casket. This is a shame and disgrace, and it should not happen. And I honestly tell you, it's not going to happen with me anymore. We can go elsewhere. Now, yes, there's only a few called me because they don't know who I am. But one day, we'll have our own property, we'll have our own necessity. And we will bury the deceased the way it should be. They will line up. And this myth that a Christian can't go in the same grave site that we go in, it's all paganism. A religion has nothing to do with the rest of the human being. And my God, they told them they can't make prayer. What is the man's teaching? Oh, I know. You ain't speaking Arabic. Your prayer will stay in space. Yes, you need a smacker. Allah says in the Quran, so simple, if I hear all my sins that call on me, the brothers that speak the Jewish language don't call on me? You think the Christians that speak a different language don't call on me? How about the Hindus? Allah hears all of his human beings that calls on him. Who are you just say he does not, because they don't speak Arabic. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Just think about it. Arabic is a language. Arabic is a language. Just like Italian is a language. Just like English is a language. French is a language. Should I go on? Arabic is a language. Before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what language was he speaking? Arabic. For Allah permit them to speak Arabic. But when he got revelation, and the Quran was written on his heart, he spoke God's language, Arabic. So are you telling me, before the prophet got revelation, before Allah told him to read in the name of the Lord that created, where was the language before? That means Moses wasn't talking to God. That means Joseph was not talking to God. That means Aaron was not talking to God. That means Lot and Noah was not talking to God. That means Abraham, Joseph was not talking to God. That means Jesus was not talking to God. And yes, before he got revelation, Muhammad ibn Abdullah was not talking to God. How unintelligent is that? For they was praying. Some prayed in their nature. They asked out knowing that God is great, but couldn't say it, didn't understand it. There was no religion. There was no religion. Until the Jews came, the oldest religion there was. And Christianity, the oldest religion that came second. And then Buddhism. But here come Al-Islam. 1,400 years ago, Allah says, if in fact you want religion, man, I'm going to give you religion. Ooh-wee. So man created his own religion, idol God. Yes. Worship the sun, yes. Worship animals, yes. God says, I have chosen for you. I prefer for you to have Al-Islam, the true religion. Isn't that amazing? So all of a sudden, you are so stuck on stupid that you believe you have to speak Arabic in order to reach Allah. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers, peace upon him, is different than you and I. He said, whoa, he's a human being. Don't he believe? Yes. Don't he commit sins? Yes. Don't he go to sleep? Yes. And don't he die and go in the same dirt we do? Yes. Well, what makes him different, Marat? He never got out of his nature. You, me, and billions of us got out of our nature. So that means the prophet was acting in his nature, without knowing who God was. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbi Adamin. My beloved Muslims and believers and brothers and sisters and friends and acquaintances and enemies. Don't ever think the enemy ain't listening. We thank Allah, you know, for giving me the opportunity to come to you today. We ask Allah to bless us with the words of God as in the Holy Quran. We thank him for our presence today and for our life and our health. And we pray that he will always with us and guide us and grant us mercy. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah al-Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam wa salatu alayhi kareem. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet and his sinners and his companion, Salakallahu Adin. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here to beat up anyone, but I'm shocking you back into reality to just enlighten you what is going on today, and that's why there's no progress. And the reason being is we don't understand who Allah blesses. Now, when I finish, I want to thank, and we can refer as the old soldiers. I want to thank the men that went through hell to be who they are today. I want to thank the men that passed away and died for this. I want to thank the men that's here on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after following the honor of Elijah Muhammad. So my sister, you should never, ever utter a word the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And because there are some crazy people out here that loves him. There's a lot of them was in there that day. Elijah Poole was taught by Master Farad Muhammad. He came here like a thief in the night. Why they say he came like a thief in the night? Because he stole us back from the slave master. He had to do it at night. But no one came over here. Where is our African brother? From Ghana, from Nigeria, from Kenya, from Niger. Where are they? Did they come over here? No one came over here for us. No Arab came over here to get us. Now, they trying to say today he was Arab. But let's look at it this way. He came from the eastern part of the world, whether he was a Pakistani or not. Schools of the Kennedy, the Ivy League schools, and sat amongst the rich and realized there's a mentality. They call us the lost and found. The lost and found had to be found. And he figured he would teach one from amongst us named Elijah Poole. Yes, Elijah Poole caught hell in the 30s. Yes, Elijah Poole didn't have more than a third grade education. Yes, Elijah Poole used to drink. But he wasn't drinking because he wanted to drink. He was drinking because he couldn't feed his family. They was giving the welfare check to the mother, his wife, Sister Clara. So she used to go out and get him. And one day, it was that female that met Farad. And she went and got her husband off the corner, cleaned him up, put a suit and tie on and said, go and listen to that man. And that man became the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, my sister, you need to study this because there was people that came before him. Booker T. Washington, Nova G. Ali. You can name a whole lot of them. But none of them was more powerful than that man that you spoke about. Oh, they had followers. And they was teaching Islam without saying Islam. Nova G. Ali taught the Quran. But none of them could do what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was blessed by Allah to do. With that third grade education, and so therefore, I know you had to be able to know when you was a child, you played a game called Simon Says. And I asked all of you, they play it today. I asked all of you, do you know what Simon looked like? You do not. I do. He was that man you was talking about named Elijah Muhammad. You call him Elijah Poole, Elijah Muhammad. And you said that I'm talking about Prophet Muhammad, the seal of the Prophet, not Poole and not Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad. Allah says in the Quran, tell them Muhammad. This is Allah talking. How dare you say and take his nature away from him? No, do we dress like us? No. But you cannot change the nature of the human being. Tell them Muhammad that you are a mortal human being just like them. So The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was given a gift, and they didn't have to take that social degree away from him, that bachelor degree or that master degree. No one could take credit of him. They became the most powerful man in America. Grew up in America from Augusta, Georgia. Here's Sister Claire Muhammad. And look how powerful he was. Now, I'm not talking about the 10 million of men. Why, brother, he was abusing your woman. He was pork, eating individuals, drinking liquor, getting high. As the OJ sing, the OJ sung a song called Living for the Weekend. Oh, you get paid on Friday and party on the weekdays, during the weekend. And as soon as Monday comes in, when Monday comes in, you're broke. You're back where you started. Now all of a sudden, you're doctors and lawyers and undertakers. But you can't remember the history. For the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, give me all the downtrodden ones. Give me all the ones that you rejected. Send them to me. And he raised them up. Malcolm. They say he was a revolutionary. You know what a revolutionary is? Something that goes to one end and got to start over and go back to the end and got to start over. It's always an ending to a revolution. But Malcolm evolved. He was a revolutionary. He evolved. He evolved from pimping. He evolved from prostitution. He evolved. He evolved from being low-lifed. Elijah Muhammad taught him. Another minister, Louis Farrakhan, was on the stage singing a song, White Man's Heaven is a Black Man's Hell. He played the violin. He was a calypso dancer. Look at him today, one of the most powerful men in America. And he gives credit to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The great Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest of all time. I'm so pretty. To the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All those females that's being taken care of and was covering themselves in the 30s, the 40s, and 50s. What was you wearing, my sisters? In the 50s and 60s, they were wearing headpieces way back then. They didn't sneak out the back door. They took care of their children. They raised their children. They loved their husband. The dinner was on the table when they came in. They used to say the medicine cabinet was her kitchen. Today, you don't eat anything. On the road, planes in the air, farmland, bringing in fish from Peru on the ships. Now you tell me about Elijah Poole? You don't know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because there's 10 million or more of us can tell you we wouldn't be who we are if it wasn't for that man named the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So watch what you say. Lucky you're a female. Because the people who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad don't play. They be in your bedroom over top of you while you sleep and you don't know how they got in. And say, what did you say? You better think before you talk. Now I can honestly tell you that you don't know me, cannot support you anymore. I will not support you anymore. And I will create my own so I don't have to support you anymore. Don't worry, nothing bad about you. I'm just trying to wake you up to reality because you're a female. And that's my duty to clean you up, not your clothing. To put your heart in the right place. Inshallah, I can only drop the seed. It grows if Allah wants it to grow. But you had women in there that was very angry, that grew up being vanguard. They were taught how to, but we don't box. That's in the ring. Ding. 3 minutes, they got to sit down, come back, take a rest for 1 minute, and back out there again. No, no, no. We destroy. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, even Steven. That's who we are. I'm telling you. Now, I'm going to tell you something that Don King, the great Don King, the big Don King, made a mistake, came against the Muslims. Yes, phone call went to the FBI and said, you better protect them. And they found a bomb sitting under the ring where he was sitting at. They had to tell everybody to get out that hotel. And they put 10 FBIs around him for 2 months. Now, Elijah Muhammad died a natural death. Imam Walid Muhammad died a natural death. Minister Farrakhan going to die a natural death. Why? Because there's so many of us that love what we created. It's no game. I don't know why they're playing this game. And most of these brothers are being paid to play like they know the religion. But I'm telling you, brother, I may not can say that to a brother that didn't learn this religion, because why? He don't know it. But anytime you can speak the Arabic fluently, progress, now Allah didn't give it to you. Because the Arabic is to learn it so you can see God for himself, till him in the language in which I'm talking to you. I guarantee you, which part of the language you don't know? I speak loud enough that I don't have to speak twice. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. This is happening in Newark. Newark is known to shut down Philly. Newark is known to shut down New York. Newark is known to shut down Chicago if we have to. And we're just a small little area between the big cities. Why? Because our love is for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Newark is in the house. Ain't no Trump in us. Will not happen again. And may Allah bless us to forgive you. But don't talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The sisters saw a movie given by Shaheed. And they saw the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for the first time in a long time. And every sister, including my wife, said they was crying. Not of sadness, of love that they had for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Did I tell you he was Simon? Hoover had to put the FBI around to protect him, because if someone was stupid enough to take a pot shot, it would have been a guerrilla warfare. And a holy war in one in America. We didn't come here to destroy our country. We come here to be an asset to our country. So what is God saying to us, brothers and sisters? We don't bother nobody. Then leave us the hell alone. Do your own thing. We don't come here playing games. Now, there's another side to me. I was taught by the best of the best, and they instilled that in me. My brother was a little upset because I was upset. You can't bring me a rumor. Because what you should ask yourself, my brother, go read the Quran. Stop sitting on the bed like you're a baby and let somebody read to you. Go read it yourself. It's called F-I-S-Q. Go read it. It means if a brother come to you and tell you about any brother, more or less myself, your job is to checkmate him. And if you don't do it, and I ask you, what did you say? And you said nothing, you're a fisher. What did that mean? It means you are part of it. If, in fact, you had said to that individual, I don't believe he would do that. I ain't never in my life was the aggressor. Anyone attacks me, I destroy them. I'm known to destroy. I got a reputation I will destroy. But I'll never be the aggressor because Allah is not with the aggressor. I heard the imam turn to his imams and said, you going to trust him or me? You going to trust nothing but a bunch of sissies up here. I understand it, brother imam, because there's a bunch of sissies out there to lie on a brother and say, I, my hands on him and push them out the way. He's a sissy. He's not even a man. Women do that all day long. Well, he pushed me so you can get locked up. You didn't touch him. You just wanted to walk out the door. They didn't like that. You got another woman. They don't like that. So they women. They can't be men. I touched him. Who is he that I would touch? And then if I want to get someone, you think I would tell him, oh, yeah, I'm coming to get you. Tell me that. You won't leave. Tell no man you coming to get him. He don't push no man. That's a lie. But the brother didn't tell him. That ain't Mirage. And then come back and find out the truth. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, if we in a fight, don't ask no questions. Jump in it. Then ask questions later. And if that brother started it, you get him. But you don't ask questions in the fight. So if you'd have told the brother, Mirage didn't do that. I don't believe it. Mirage ain't that kind of guy. And then come back and tell me, and then tell me that's what you say. You're a fister. Whoa, wait a minute, Mirage. I'm a sister if I don't tell, and I'm a sister out there. See how Allah's words work? They ain't the English language fool. They ain't the Arabic that the Arabs speak fool. They're not Italian. Allah has many meanings to his language, his word. And when you read the words of the Holy Quran, you're reading Allah. This is Allah. But keep in mind, bro. There's a language deeper than that. They don't speak to you in no language, but there's a language deeper than the language in the Holy Quran. Allah will tell you what it is. It's your heart. You have divorced yourself from your heart. Deep in your heart is what Allah is talking about. But Revelation wasn't written on the tongue of the prophet. Nor was he written on his forehead, for it says that if, in fact, brothers and sisters, that Revelation was written on the tallest mountain, how about Mount Everest? It would have crossed the sand. That's how, and you ignore the heart. And you sisters thought, well, I'm going to stay with that fool because God found. No, he ain't talking about your common sense, and that man ain't no damn good. Get the hell out of there. He's talking about you divorcing that big head from the heart that pumps blood to that brain. Show you how powerful the heart is. Brain damage, you're still alive. Why? The blood didn't get there. So you're dead, but the body ain't dead. When do you die? Well, cut your body off. And the heart dies. The whole body is dead. Spirit got to get out of there. The soul got to get out of there. Study the heart. You'll have no understanding of what is the heart. The heart is deep, deep. You only feel it when you hurt. You can't see it. And no one can go down that deep. Only Allah. Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. Arabic spells it K-A-L-B. Kuba. Yes, but it's also related to dog. That's Arabic. But Kuba. K with a Q. A-L-B is in the Quran. That's not associated with no dog. But they sound like. That's why you don't know if they speak in Arabic today. Or Arabia. They mix it. Got you that they saying something, not saying anything. But it means the heart too. But the difference is that heart is in you. And only Allah knows your heart. You can fool everybody else, but you can't fool Allah. These are things that are not being taught. And it's just amazing that we have to go to our cemetery with all this idol God worship. Oh, sisters, you can't get in line. Why not? Why not they can't get in line? You don't think they pray to God? This ain't sadhya. Because you're not going to get anybody to just make sadhya. So this is straight up vertical. We're making a dua. They can't make a dua. I'm quite sure they know how to pray. It's only one God. But their nature is Muslim. You can't comprehend. We've been taught by the best of the best. Most of us come through Imam Al-Hussein Muhammad, but you could not have learned or touched this Quran if you were not pure. If you're not pure, Allah won't give you the understanding. So going through the wudu is just a ritual. But Allah is saying to you, your heart has to be pure. If your heart is pure, you can touch the understanding of the Quran. Something is wrong with their heart because we got a whole lot of misunderstanding here. You got women now saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Who taught you that, sister? You have no clue what you're saying. It's not in the Holy Quran. Not for you, not for me, and not any human being that's walking this earth right now. Oh, who? It was for the prophet. When Allah talks about the prophet, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the Arabic, if you know how to write it, there's a little E. It means singular. It's not plural. But you got an angel on your right, an angel on your left. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi, that's for the angel. Why? They was here a trillion years. How about a billion years? How about a hundred? No. You'll know it was here longer than that. So you don't know how long. It's not important. But Allah created an angel to protect us. We didn't even exist. He brought the jinn in existence before us, told the angel, I create you to guide my human beings. Now that you know that, he placed them on our shoulder. And that one on the right guides you until you turn a deaf ear. That one on the left writes your history. Yes, sister, everything you're doing is written. You better clean it up before you leave here because your portfolio will be recited. You ever been in the courtroom? Sister, you did this, you did that, you got away with this, you got away with that. You cut this person, you shot that person, you prostituted over here, you did this, you did that. You know the judge getting ready to sentence you. Well, your portfolio, that's where they got it from. They read. They try to copy God. Who's going to answer for you? You got to stand on your own two feet, your merit, your barakah. Maybe you would stop running around talking about who's a Muslim and who isn't. You better see how much you know. Because one who knows or feel they know, carrying out, gets the worst punishment. Allah does not charge a person with that which they do not know. Oh, you Jews and Christians and Sabbath, believe in one God, and the hereafter there will be no burden on you. Now, you putting a burden on them, why they alive? Sit back there, but you can't get in line because you're not a Muslim. Most unintelligent statement that you could ever make. Tell them animals that they are not Muslims. They stay in their habitat. Tell them ants they're not Muslims. Tell the birds and the bees they're not Muslim. How about the stars, the moon, the sun, the clouds, the air you breathe? Everything that Allah gives you, you must give back. Don't give the air back. Just breathe in and hold your breath. You will die. Got to give it back. Don't let it live. Drink the water. Don't let it out. Bust your bladder. You can die. Allah gave you all that for free. Become a beast in your way of eating. You will die. Everything you got, you must give back. You got the knowledge, you give it back. Don't fault me that I'm going to give it back, whether you like it or not, if I'm in charge, because that's what I'm taught to do. So we say, As-salamu alaykum, go study it. It's powerful. You don't need nothing else. But they want to change us. They run around calling us Islam. Don't want to put Al-Islam, the religion. Al-Islam. You won't find Islam in the Quran. Read it for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. Just read it for yourself. And Allah will clear it up for you. When my mother passed away, I gave it to NASA. If I'm exaggerating a little bit, I don't know, it could have been Hindus. But they were from all walks of life. In a citizen gorgeous building built by Weaver Foster. I want to duplicate that. And no one thought, including my sister, that I would not be able to put that deceased body in there. But I didn't look at my mother being in there. I was bringing in earth in a casket. She gave it to me. And I broke down the four seasons. I brought down why we do silent prayer and which what it all meant. And the reason why it wasn't a great deal of us, it might have been 100, but if we had did it in Jersey, it would probably have been, with the seniors, it could have been 600. But when I got finished making the four takbirs, Reba came over to me and said, everybody got in line. And when you say Allahu Akbar, them seniors said Allahu Akbar. When you say Allahu Akbar, them seniors said Allahu Akbar. When you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, all those seniors said Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I said, you kidding? Not one of them sat in that seat. That's da'wah. And when I come around them, they treat me like they my mother. You see what happened when we show people who we are and what it's about? The problem with most of the imams, they teaching emotions. They teach it to the emotion of the human being. They teach it to the spirit of the human being. But they neglecting the intellect. The intellect is a great gift, brothers and sisters. Why do you think that taqwa goes to Allah quick? Because you have a right to say, I do not want to believe in God. So because you chose it, he chooses you to make it through this world with help, with his angels and his jinn. Oh, Marah, I thought you said the jinn is the devil. Well, let's see what the Holy Quran says. There's a group of jinns heard a beautiful recital. Nor jinn, no man should ignore that recital. What recital is Allah talking about? The Holy Quran is the recital of God's words. So let me clear this up, because I got a lot of texts from people saying, Marat, you said Prophet Muhammad upon him was not a perfect human being, because there's nobody perfect. So let me rephrase that. Ibn Muhammad Ibn Abdullah. I used to wonder why Imam Wallace D. Muhammad said, I follow Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. I got it. But when the prophet is speaking the words of Allah, because there was no book, that's what made him perfect. Because when we speak the words of God, we are perfect. But when you are just Ibn Abdullah, when you just Murad Muhammad, when you just Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, I'm just a normal human being, just like you. The difference, do I commit sin? We all commit sin. Allah says if you don't commit sin, he'll erase a group of people from this earth and replace them with one will sin, who we are. But do you beg God for forgiveness? No, you don't. So Muhammad the prophet prays peace upon him for 40 years, a lifetime, live the upright life. What they call alemin. That's another reason. He's the seal of the prophet. Perfect example to all human beings. That we can be, while we'll never be the prophet. He had to earn 40 years of being obedient to his nature to be the prophet. So I can't be the prophet. Imam can't be the prophet. Allah Muhammad can't be the prophet. None of you all can be the prophet. He's the seal. But why? 23 years he became the prophet. To us, a message of God. God don't have prophet. Come to him as a prophet. You can come to him as a slave servant. But to us, he's not our servant. He's not our messenger. He is the prophet to us. But perfect example, because he gives you the perfect words of the Quran. Tell them, Aisha, because they ain't listening to me. Who is your husband? And he's a walking human Quran. Our nature is a walking human Quran, brothers and sisters. And that's why we gravitate when we hear the Quran. Quran is in the fast lane. All the rest of them is in the slow lane, in the middle lane. Because why? We talk to the nature of the human being, not his intellect. His intellect is confused. Yes, it is. It's confused. And this is why it's hard to get to you. So what McDonald's do and Wendy's and Colonel Sanders, they subliminally seduct you. They get past that big head and get in your self-conscious mind. And your children want Burger King. They want McDonald's. Why? Burger King, Burger King, Burger King. McDonald's, McDonald's, McDonald's. Well, when you touch the nature of the human being, then the human being sends a message to that big head you got up there. It has something, the smallest thing on the body is the head, but they call it big head. Well, they mean, you know, without your mind and your head done swollen, you're going to come back down to earth and realize you ain't going nowhere without God's will. So you better serve him. Some people go through a lot of tremble, drama, man. Yeah. And they can't understand why they go through that drama. They can't make it. They try to make it. And they have trouble, and a lot of people got a lot of trouble. And some of us go through difficulties. But as a servant, you can make it if you're a servant to Allah. And then when they become a servant to Allah, they kind of supernatural, at least in their soul. In their soul. You know, Frankie Lyman used to say, you know, Frankie Crocker used to say, if you don't dig it, you got a hole in your soul. So in your soul, you can become supernatural. What happens? All African Americans, some of us become supernatural in our soul, and my God, you come like Superman. You do miracles. You leap all bounds, all buildings, if you believe. You got to have faith, brothers and sisters. If you don't have faith, you have a serious problem. And this is why I love my Christians, because they're sincere in what they believe. Hopefully we can convince them to believe different, but that's not our job. All we do is plant the seed. And if you plant the seed, if Allah's will, whether he's going to allow you to be able to come the way of the Quran. However, you won't know bad until you see it. You don't know ugly until you see it. You don't know unintelligent until you see it. You don't even know how good you are until you see how bad someone else is doing. You're complaining, but go down the street, knock on the door. Go upstairs, go downstairs. Wherever you live, you'll find out they are worse than you are. And then you pray to God, oh God, don't let me be that bad. Then you appreciate who you are. Even Jesus Christ said, I am in you, and you are in me. That's what Jesus said. God said to the Muhammad, the prophet, say, I am a mortal human being just like you. So they basically said the same thing. The prophets are saying the same thing that Jesus Christ said. He identified with the same light as Jesus Christ is representing, the common light shared by others. Yes, here we have the language from Jesus Christ, from Muhammad the prophet. They address the same thing. It's the excellence that was given to our father Adam. And both of them are ascendants of our father Adam. Maybe tomorrow, inshallah, I can talk about Adam, because you don't talk about him. You don't even raise them up. My beautiful sister that made that major mistake. We all make mistakes. Now you can change it. Either you will go and study some more and let them know that I would not do that anymore, or just leave it alone. That's just as good. Just leave it alone. Let the emails do what they say they should do. If they make mistakes, it's on them. It's a burden on them. November the 9th in Connecticut, we are asking everyone to come that will come. We're getting ready to shock the whole country in what we're getting ready to do. We have honorees that we are honoring, and we have the brothers and sisters up there in Hampton, Connecticut. Dr. Abdullah Majid Kareem Hassan, he doesn't feel well. We pray that he will get better. The last time he was there, Friday, he's doing much better than he was doing. And he asked me. He asked me to do the Juma. I'll be up there this Friday. This is my fourth time in a row being there doing Juma. And I'm able to speak to the people that have never heard the things that I say and make things common. And before I get off the air, I'm going to tell you about two of them. One was a sister who told me, thank you for telling me. They all this time, they had me think I was cursed because I'm left-handed. I said, there we go with that paganism. Allah does not give sin in the womb of the female. We have come out of the womb pure. We are blessed. We come out of paradise. And we come in the world as like angels. Why would Allah give you a sin, sister? Left has nothing to do with God's hand. Man named left and right. It has nothing to do with the physical. Nothing in the Quran is physical. You are left-handed. I'm a right-handed. My son is left-handed. And that has nothing to do with hands. That's the way you came out. Now, you can always turn yourself around. That's what you choose, because in basketball, they are job. They can do a whole lot of things with both hands. And so can you. A boxer, he can say a left hook, but whatever that hook is, if it's a right hook or a left hook, you're going out. But they want you to think. You got brothers that will go to your left, won't go to their left, but will go to their right. It has nothing to do with left or right. It has something to do with Allah's controls. It's two controls, El-Rahman or El-Rahim. Now go around the Kaaba to your right. You're dead. Because millions of people would stomp you. We go counterclockwise. That's left. So this myth. So she said, thank you, Imam. Thank you. Thank you for clearing this. All I knew in her nature, she knew something was wrong with it. Yes, this is simple. This is simple. Treat your female like your right hand presents. Oh, brother, I am not accepting that right hand. Here we go again. We are practicing paganism. It don't mean right hand. They write or wrote it to get your attention, right state of mind. Treat that sister. Your righteous self, treat that sister. Yes. As your right hand possess. May all that is good. But if you chose that you now want to fall in love with her, give her dignity. Marry her. Y'all not even married no more. That's why you all dying behind the walls. You all sick. You all out of weight. You don't want to eat right. You don't have nobody there telling you what to do. See, one thing about a wife, she's going to tell you, nope, you can't eat that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. You know, You know how I get along with that? Sound like my mama. I love my mama. Mama, got some more bread? No, boy, you had enough. Mama, I want some more butter. Nope, that's enough. Cholesterol. Mama, get to your mama. So the wife is the same thing. She's a female. She's a mother. She's the lord of the house. And so, therefore, she's going to tell you what's right or wrong. You can always be the baby. I don't care who you are. You can be the oldest son. You can be 50 years old, 60 years old. If your mother in the house, she want to know where you're at. Rod? Yeah, where your brother? Mommy's a grown man. You better go find your brother. He older than I am. Go find Musa and tell him his mama want to talk to him. Yes, that's my mother. That's her baby. She'll always be mama's baby. But you want to change her into you. That's her sensitivity. So she controls the home. And sometimes you get aggravated, but you got to go somewhere. Because you ain't going to win the fight. Not going to win. But if you treat her gentle and you appreciate her and you understand that she means something, not just in this world, even in the hereafter. I want to see you in the hereafter. And you'll have a pretty good night, a pretty good day. But she's nothing but a child to you. That's what Allah says. He tries you with that which you love. So now your wife is getting old. She can't walk like she used to walk. She can't do the things she used to do. That's your test. Who are you going to get rid of her? You didn't pass your test. You didn't pass your test. Your wife and children are nothing but a trial to you. And Allah will test you with that which you love. But Allah is greater. And everything in the Holy Quran will give you the answer how you should treat your life in this world. But you sisters are not reading, you brothers are not reading. So on the 9th, we're going to have one of the oldest imams, Abdullah Kareem Hassan, who's building a brand new masjid in California. Then in Connecticut from the beginning until the Honorable Muhammad sent him to California, and then he came on the email, what is me, Muhammad? And Dr. Hassan, he was the captain, then he became the minister on the Honorable Muhammad, then the imam was the Muhammad made him the imam. And his name became Imam Dr. Abdullah Majid Kareem Hassan. His older brother, Abdullah Kareem Hassan. And they both will unite. But this is the announcement that we are honoring the Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan. Ah, I love that brother. But I didn't know him as much as I knew his daddy. And he has a great love for me. I have a great love for him. But his daddy is so ecstatic. Ah, is he elated that we have came together. Why? We are losing economics, brothers and sisters. But we are trying to bring the Christians. Oh, I'm working on them. We're trying to bring the Jews. Oh, I'm working on them. See, that's all humanity. I had a brother say, why would you join with Minister Louis Farrakhan? I said, okay, let's look at it. Who you work for? I work for the government. Who you work for? I work for the city. Who you work for? I work for the state. Who you work for? Well, I work for Verizon. Who you work for? I work for Prudential. Ain't most of them the white man? Didn't their great-grandfathers put our people into slavery? Didn't they rape our mothers, castrate our brothers? Wasn't he being killed by one of their relatives called the great-great-grandpa? Oh, you don't see that. Did Ms. Farrakhan do that to you? But you got a problem with your own brother. But yet, you take that money, all that stuff go out the window that you was castrated, that you was on the fire, the nigga they used to call it, called picnic. And they fried you in boiling hot water and then ate you on the grill. But you can forgive him. Why? Because you got a job. Yes, the boss. We itch, boss. We sick, boss. Yeah, y'all sick. It seems like to me, he comes from the same way we all came from. And the Amalai Muhammad is not here anymore. Amen. What is he, Muhammad? Is not here anymore. But here's a man can go overseas, and the sheikhs love him. paid his own way to get over there. So here nobody going, he came over there and give him a message. But why they love him so much? You know why? The same way they love Muhammad Ali. The same way they love him. How do you make it on your own in America? Yes, I reiterate. That's why they love me outside this country, because they can't believe in Dubai. What I have accomplished, everybody loves an asset. And I'm going to close on this. Oprah Winfrey is known. She just brought some money to Westside, which was a good piece of money. Got to give her credit. But Oprah Winfrey is known for ABC, NBC, ABC, ABC, ABC. Bill Cosby, yes, he's in prison. You know, he's paying for whatever he done. I just think they overdid it. He's known for NBC, 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 NBC. But the reason why they amaze over me, because I'm known for ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, USA, Showtime, pay-per-view, USA, Fox Network, closed circuit. How did I do it? I'm in every library in this country. You can just put it in now, and you are A.D. Muhammad. I'm in every newspaper in this country. But they know me in Israel. They know me in England. They know me in France. They know me in Korea, Tokyo, in Saudi Arabia. Why? I come through the televisions, and I come into the home through their TV. That's what I asked Allah for. So I got a good name. It's better than gold. Now, I'm like, Muhammad taught us that name. A good name is better than gold. So Allah blesses who he pleases when he pleases. My job is to give it back so we can pay our teachers and create our own schools so we can have our own farmland. You talking about halal. Who's raising our cattle? We're going to raise our cattle. 5,000 farmers came to me. I'm coming to you, brother. I'm coming to you because why? I know how to create the money to feed us the proper way. Change this myth that if you want it organic, costs you a lot of money. We're going to change all this. It's a lot to build our own hospitals, our own school of thoughts, our own buildings. I know you think I'm out of my mind, but all that I have done in bringing billions to ABC, billions to NBC, billions to CBS, billions of dollars to Showtime, billions of dollars to the distributors around the country with pay-per-view. I brought them billions, telling me I can't do it for us if we come together collectively. Well, join us on November the 9th and watch history is being made. I want to thank Minister Louis Farrakhan, my brother. I love him. He loves me. And we've been talking about coming together for years. And my worthy Muhammad gave me the rights to do it with our community and told him, if you want to do anything with this community, see Murad Muhammad. Murad, you have a right to make a decision. Now, well, I thought it was going to happen 20 years ago. Who thought it was going to happen now? Then Farrakhan told his people, I was there, my wife was there, Sohon was there, and he said, Murad Muhammad is special. And if you want to do anything with Murad Muhammad, and Murad Muhammad want to do anything with you, he's got my permission. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, if I could raise $500,000, for my sister, my beautiful sister, I love it, Salone's ex-wife, Frederica, that was in trouble because the white folks were going to come after her. She allowed me to do it. Told her to go see Ms. Farrakhan. Tell him that I sent you. And Ms. Farrakhan came here for 2 days at $100 a head, and we put $500,000 so she can pay the government back. I never asked her for one nickel. I ain't asking for no praise. That's who I am, and that's what I do. We're talking about I'm after one trillion. Because I handle billions. But I want one trillion with a T. But not just for me. For us as one community, one Ummah. I thank you for listening. If I said anything to hurt anyone, I ask you to forgive me. That was not my intention. If I said anything that wasn't true, subhanAllah, Allah is the best knower. But I said anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen al-fitr, the nature in which you was created, stand up in your conscience, your taqwa. Your taqwa, your God conscience. Give that to Allah, don't give it to me. I greet you from Adam to Abraham, to Jesus Christ, the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace upon him, from the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Tomorrow I shall return, inshallah, from 7 to 9. Ramadan Muhammad. Thank you for listening.